Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with the goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the subject of biblical fasting. What does the Bible say about fasting? What is fasting? How do you fast? How often do you fast? How long should the fast be? Those are some of the things that we want to touch on today in this broadcast that might challenge you to find the answer for yourself as you study the scripture and make the determination. Determine whether or not God would have you to fast, when, where, why, and how, and what God would have you to do in relationship to that. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the subject today of biblical fasting. We've just talked about, and by the way, we have Pastor Glenn Davis with us. Pastor Davis from up in that wonderful place called Folkestone, Georgia.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God.
I have an affinity for Georgia. I spent about half of my life there.
And, amen.
So even though we were called Georgia Crackers, you know, in Georgia.
Amen.
I am thankful to be a transplant here in the state of Florida. Just talking with a gentleman on the phone earlier today, and he's from up in Tennessee, and I told him about my son, one of our sons being in the southern tip of heaven over in Tennessee, and he's in Tennessee himself. We had a good dialogue and discussion about that. Some people, when they die, they want to go to heaven, and others, when they die, they want to go to some state. But I am thankful that we have the privilege today, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about this biblical tenet, this biblical precept and principle that is called fasting. So we had talked about, prior to the news break, what is biblical fasting. It's a relinquishment, willingness to give up something, surrendering something that's taking up your time, that's something that you're doing that can focus on something else, something that is better. Fasting is not commanded. It's not required by God. It's not required by any part of the scripture, but it's an opportunity to reflect. Fasting allows you to reflect on the Lord, to reflect on His goodness, reflect on His grace, reflect on His prerogatives and His provisions in our lives, and reflect on the fact that He is the only source of help and hope and encouragement and comfort, and reflect on that. As I read the quote from one writer, it says, fasting is the temporary renunciation of something that itself is good, like food, in order to intensify our expression of need for something greater. That
Amen.
Is something as the Lord, or God's work in our lives or in the life of others. And the second thing we want to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, who is to do biblical fasting? Is fasting something for the general public? Should anybody, everybody fast? Or is it something that is specifically focused on the Christian? First of all, ladies and gentlemen, fasting is commanded. It is generally done not out of compulsion, but willingly. Jesus says, when you fast, it's commanded. He is referring to that, and Pastor Davis read those verses in Matthew 6 just a moment ago.
Amen.
Jesus starts it out, didn't say, if you fast, but when you fast, with the presumption, with the assumption that you're going to fast as a Christian. And that's what he's talking. And during the course of those few verses that Pastor Davis read a moment ago in Matthew 6, verse 16 to verse 18, it compares the Christian in fasting and how it's done as compared to the hypocrite, that is the one that's in the marketplace, claims to be saved, claims to be religious, but he wants everybody to know
Amen.
That he's fasting. So therefore, he has disheveled hair. Perhaps he hadn't combed his hair in a week. Perhaps he hasn't shaved his face in a week. Perhaps he is looking like a street urchin. And as a result of that, I want you to know I've been fasting.
Amen.
Look
Amen.
At me. And Jesus calls them hypocrites. The word hypocrite comes to the root word meaning play actor. Playing one part, acting one part, but you're really another. So fasting is commended, but fasting is not commanded. I've said that several times. I want to reemphasize that. It is not commanded. In many religions, and Pastor, you're perhaps aware of this fact, that in Islam, fasting is commanded. It's one of the tenets of their faith. Fasting is required. Fasting requires them to go for an entire month called Ramadan. And Ramadan is that fasting month. And generally, it's in October or November. I've forgotten which. But Ramadan is a month of fasting. And if you're going to be a true Muslim, you have got to submit to that 1 month of Ramadan in fasting.
Amen. Amen.
Although most of the Muslims are liars anyway. They are jihadist liars. And by the way, the Quran gives them authority to lie if it means persuading you to accept their position on the theological, their theological subject. And so therefore, many of them will claim they're fasting for the entire month of Ramadan. And they will, after sundown, when nobody sees or knows, they will gorge themselves on food because they've gone all day without food.
Amen.
And they then claim they have gone through that for 1 month. So understand, who is to do biblical fasting? It's the child of God. It's the Christian. And it's where we separate ourselves by willing, volitional choice of something that we normally would take, normally partake of. Food is not bad. Food is good, commended in the scripture for food for the body. But at the same time, if it means leaving something off, that we can relinquish that so that we can refocus our lives for a day, a 2 days, 3 days, a week, or even extreme of 40 days, as Jesus did in Matthew's Gospel, the 4th chapter, the first 11 verses.
Amen.
But ladies
Amen.
And gentlemen, we need to understand that fasting is not for the general public. Fasting is for the child of God, so that we can focus on God and His graciousness, His goodness in our lives.
Well, that was a good thing you said right there, Dr. Youngblood, because, I mean, as I thought about, my mind was going through the many different religions
mm-hmm.
Whose leaders teach their disciples and followers discipline.
Right.
Fasting is a discipline. Now, and as you said that about the Muslims and the Ramadan and that kind of stuff like that, and how they commit themselves to fasting because that is what they believe.
That's because they're commanded to.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Why can't the Christians feel like that? It's
a good question.
Amen. You know, it's just, for me, it's always been a confusing point,
mm-hmm.
in other words. And can I say I'm a little bit jealous when it comes down to certain things like that? Because when I look at how other people accomplish things, why can't Christians get with one accord and do the same thing?
I've said that many, many, many times from the standpoint of Christianity. You can find some of the Christian cults, they'll get out there and pedal that bicycle until they wear their legs down to the knees. They will get out there and door knock until they can hardly walk anymore. And yet we find Christians not willing to go to the next door neighbor.
Amen.
Or go across the street or take a visitor's card on a Sunday morning and go visit that person that's visited in their church. It is there's somehow a mindset within Christendom. If I can be corrected for a moment, there's a mindset somehow, Pastor, within Christians that says, I've gotten saved, I've said yes to Jesus, I've got my ticket to heaven, I can get on the train, I can ride the train of life and not worry about doing anything for Jesus or for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I can just simply keep on trucking. That is simply not true.
Amen.
If a person
Amen.
Can be satisfied to do that, he needs to, as the Apostle Paul says, check up, see if you be in the faith.
Amen.
If
Amen.
A person is willing to say, well, I've got my ticket, they may not say that verbally, I've got my ticket, I bought the ticket, I've got my free ride, therefore I don't have to do anything, that is absolutely a joke. That person probably is not saved.
Amen.
And if it is a person that is saved, there should be that desire at some point in time to say, I'm going to take my eyes off this, I'm going to take my focus off this, and I'm going to focus on the Lord. And I don't say this because it's me, but when we went through the hardship, the difficulty, the dark days when my son was in the hospital for some 71 days and went on to be with the Lord, I made the determination then, didn't tell my wife, didn't tell anybody. I just didn't turn the TV on. Usually I would watch news. I didn't, from July the 21st and following, I didn't turn the television on.
Amen.
And it's simply because I determined in my heart that that time that I would watch the news or watch other worthy programs, that I could spend that time focusing in my mind and my heart and praying for our son, praying for God to answer our prayer, asking God to answer our prayer, et cetera, et cetera.
Amen.
That is a true biblical fast.
Amen. That's
based
it.
On
Amen.
The word of God.
Amen. And you and I both, Dr. Youngblood, I did pretty much the same thing, basically for Brother Gene.
Yes.
And you know what? We got results.
Yes.
Because when you look at the many a times he seemed like he was at the end of the rope, God turned it around.
That's right.
Now, we know that he's sovereign. He's able to do all things. And still yet, I believe, I'm just a firm believer, before God takes any believer from here, in sickness, he heals them, and then he takes them on. Brother Gene is sitting up there
totally
healed today. My God, you know, I could feel that way down on the inside.
Totally healed.
I'm rejoicing, amen.
Absolutely.
I know we'll miss his presence.
Yeah.
And we pray, amen, for you and for the family,
amen.
And for LaBeth and the kids and everyone, amen,
yes.
to be strengthened.
Amen.
In spite of that, amen. But we know that our God, amen, still heals and answers prayer. And when we commit ourselves, amen, to fasting and prayer the way that we did, amen, he'll step right in
Absolutely.
And he'll turn it around.
Absolutely, brother.
Amen.
I'm thankful to hear you say that. You're,
amen.
You've been one of our standing prayer warriors, and I'm thankful
amen.
For that. Amen.
Amen.
So we're talking about now, what is biblical fasting? Biblical fasting is that which is taking that which we normally would do, relinquishing it to reflect on God and his greatness and his goodness, and interceding for ourselves, for our family, and for others.
Amen.
Who's to be in the biblical fast? The Christian. How should we fast? This, ladies and gentlemen, is an important part of this whole subject today. How should you fast? And I've got two or three points, and we'll just briefly look at them. A set period. A set period.
Amen. Amen.
It must be where there's a volitional decision that this, and it doesn't. You don't have to announce it. Lord, this is what I'm going to do, a set period of time, whatever period of time you feel that is needed. If you feel that you need strength, the wisdom, or direction, it is whether it's a 5-day, 10-day, 2-day, 1-day, or an evening fast. It needs to be a volitional choice so that you're communicating that to God. God, this is what I'm going to do. This is the reason I'm going to do it, and this is the period of time that I'm going to do this so I can focus on you, seek your face, renounce anything that is in my life that would stand in the way of my prayer between you and the Lord.
Amen.
Pastor,
Amen.
I believe that it's vital for a person to have that put aside where our sins are forgiven, where we are, as the old timers used to call it, where we're prayed up.
Amen.
And we are willing to set this time aside to focus on God and asking God to intercede.
Amen.
We
Amen.
Have the privilege of having in our church fellowship a circle of people in the on the prayer team that when something is someone is to be prayed for, that immediately goes out.
Amen.
And it's amazing to me the number of people that will email back or respond back or text back that I'm praying now. I've been praying. This
Amen.
Is what I'm doing.
Amen.
And
Amen.
As one dear lady said, that every time she could think about that particular person, she said, I would stop and pray. Stop and pray. It's making the volitional decision that we're going to do so.
Amen.
And that mean it may mean leaving a meal off, may mean leaving several meals off. It may mean turning the television off. It may mean turning the social media off or stop talking on the telephone so much, if some could listen to that, and focus on what we're doing. And it's a set period.
Amen.
But also
well,
a set purpose.
Amen. Well, the proof positive, amen, for that you just got through explaining, Dr. Youngblood, is in 1 Corinthians 7, I believe.
Yes.
When the Apostle Paul said that when the man and the wife, amen, come together, in other words, amen, in other words, you're supposed to come together and agree mm-hmm. not to come together.
Yes.
As what men and women do,
mm-hmm.
amen, sexually.
That's right.
Can I put it that way
yes,
so we'll make sure we're on the
right
track.
That's what all of chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians is about.
Amen. Come together and let each other know that we're going to give ourselves over to fasting and prayer for a set time.
For a set time.
Which you
set
just
period.
Got finished saying.
Absolutely.
And then he said, when you come off the fast, come together again so that Satan won't tempt you
yes.
for your incontinency. Amen.
Right.
So let's do it just like the Word of God says, and we'll see that we'll get positive results.
Absolutely. I believe we have a call on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. I appreciate your subject today, and I know most people, when they think of fasting, they think of, food. But God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And to me, the most prominent idol today that we worship are these cell phones. And in so many ways, with social media, with just even playing games. Some people are so addicted to these things they can't put them down, and they are idols.
Absolutely, and brother, I'm glad you mentioned that. I watched a TV commercial some time ago. It could have been a year, 2 years, 3 years ago, and it showed a family sitting around the dinner table. A large table, a large setting, probably 8 or 10 in the family, as they depicted it on that particular. It was a commercial of some type, but everybody sitting around the table. Each one had a cell phone. They're seated around the table as a family. Each one with his cell phone, with a click, 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 click on the cell phone, and then the big question mark: when do you spend time with the family? There needs to be in that sense, the fasting of being willing to put that cell phone away when family's together so that we can have family time together, talk with the family, dialogue and discussion with the family, and not just looking at that cell phone. And by the way, I believe there'll come a time in our lifetime when we will recognize, most Christians have not, most citizens have not, when we'll recognize the inherent danger of that telephone. There have been a lot of studies made about the physicality and the dangers of our physical health with the radiation from that cell phone.
Amen.
And what it does.
Amen.
To the body and to the mind, to the hearing and to other organs of the body just as a result of that cell telephone and the radiation that emanates from it. So you're exactly right. But one of the major things when we talk about that, by the way, and I could just pause for a moment, interject this for our dialogue and discussion if you have further questions about it. It could be a time of mourning, a time of intercession, time for intercession for another person, expression of a need in your life. It is not to be public. It's to be done. Fasting is not to be done public, but to be private between you and the Lord. You got any questions or statements, comments about that?
No, I agree with everything you're saying about it. Yes, sir. And I appreciate your program. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you. Keep looking up.
Amen.
Our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're
Amen.
Talking about how should you fast. Pastor, have you got any comments to answer that? We're talking about the period of fasting and the purpose of fasting. How should we fast? Now, we've already said Matthew 6, Jesus says, verse 16 through 18, that you're not to look disheveled, you're not to show it forth, you're not to sensationalize it, but you are to do it in secret. What are some of the other things that we need to talk about fasting that falls into that category of how we should fast?
Well, first and foremost, Dr. Youngblood, because we already have the perfect model in the scripture of a believer when we look at Aaron and his sons
yes.
as being a priest
yes.
unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Before they got ready to make a sacrifice in the temple, first they had to sanctify themselves.
That's right. Setting themselves apart. That's what it means.
Sanctify. Amen. Amen. So every believer, before you fast, amen, you ought to sanctify and humble yourself.
Absolutely.
And confess your sins.
Absolutely.
Get the dead cat off the line, like the old people used to say.
That's right.
Amen. Get that off the line. Amen. That's a blessing blocker.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You can't get an answer from God when you got sin in your own life.
That's a good term. I like that, a blessing blocker.
So, amen. Yes.
That's right.
When you move the dead cat off the line, amen, then you can get an answer from God for your situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next thing we need to learn how to do is to turn to the scripture.
Right.
Because when we are fasting, amen, we not only are waiting, amen, for a move from God within our hearts and souls.
That's right.
But we need to compare what we are hearing to the word of God.
That's right.
The written word, amen. Because know this, amen, there are many spirits out there. So that's why, amen, 1 John tells us to try the spirits whether they are of God.
That's right.
And the only way that you can try those spirits is through, amen, the word.
That's right.
Because God is never going to do anything. The Holy Spirit is never going to do anything
outside
contrary
of the word.
To the word
That's
of
right.
God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
You hit the nail on the head. That is so
amen.
Poignantly stated, Pastor. I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And when we are fasting, it is not to be sensationalized, but to be secret. And again, it goes back to the Matthew 6, verse 16, 17, and 18 text. But I want us to then, ladies and gentlemen, as we go toward the wrap-up of today's broadcast, the next several minutes, I want us to talk about perhaps some of the questions you've been asking, but you didn't dial the number to ask it, that we want to talk about. It is why you should fast, why the Christian should fast.
Amen.
Both the Old and the New Testament gives us a wide, wide array of reasons for biblical fasting. Pastor wants to talk about this for the next several minutes. I've just listed about eight things, but it could be far, far, far exceedingly greater than just the eight things. As we review it, first of all, turn, Pastor, if you will, to Acts chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3. Acts 13, 1, 2, and 3. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, fasting, we can fast while we're asking God to give us guidance. Guidance. The Apostle Paul, about to go on a missionary journey, and they prayed, fasted, laid hands on them, and sent them out. Read those three verses, Pastor.
Amen. Acts 13, verse 1.
1, 2, and 3.
Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work wherewith I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away.
Yes. The laying on the hands, ladies and gentlemen, has no magical transfer of power, as some allude to and believe. That's not what he's talking about. They laying hands on them publicly means that they're identifying with them and approving of them and their ministry, and they're being set apart. That's what deacon ordination is about. That's what pastoral ordination is about.
Amen.
So they're literally setting them apart.
Amen.
But notice in that process, Pastor, they were praying for and fasting for guidance and direction as they sent them out. So, ladies and gentlemen, one of the major, major, major things that we need to think about when we think about biblical fasting is that we turn aside, relinquish some things that are normally good things, but relinquish them that we can reflect on what God is doing and ask God to give us wisdom and guidance and direction for what we feel God would have us to do.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm not saying this to put me on a pedestal, and I know that you do the same thing. That before I stand in the pulpit and preach, and before I stand in the classroom and teach, I pray and ask God to give me wisdom, to give me guidance.
Amen.
Even on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, before a word goes forth, I've already prayed and said, God, give me the very words you want spoken. Give me wisdom and guidance in doing so. That ought to be the focus in our fasting.
Amen. Every preacher.
Absolutely. We ought to do so, understanding that it's only God can give us guidance and wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the second thing is, ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the reasons for fasting, is to strengthen our prayer.
Amen.
To strengthen our prayer life.
Amen.
In fact, one of the Old Testament texts back in Ezra, Ezra the 8th chapter and the 23rd verse, it talks about that praying and fasting. And by the way, Pastor, I find it fascinating, intriguing, and yet satisfying that in most of the cases where it talks about fasting, it's a linkage, prayer and fasting.
Amen.
Prayer
Amen.
And fasting.
Amen.
That indicates to me that that time of fasting ought to be a time of prayer.
Amen.
Ought to be a time that we spend with God alone. Ought to be a time that we spend with God asking Him to give wisdom and guidance and direction and strength to carry out what He's called us to do. And part of that fasting, ladies and gentlemen, is focusing on God, but also in that focus, interceding, asking God to either heal someone or take care of this issue, or give us wisdom and guidance, illumination, and direction. But you'll find that strength, prayer for strengthening and that fasting, you take time, ladies and gentlemen, your leisure, jot it down. If you're driving, don't try to write it down, but just remember it if you can. Ezra 8:23.
Amen.
And thirdly is to express grief. Pastor, 1 Samuel 31:13. Turn there. 1 Samuel 31:13. Fasting can be to express grief. A broken heart, grieving over someone that's sick, someone that's dying, someone that's of ill health, someone that's having major problems with a job, like many of them today getting fired because they refused to take the COVID jab. But Pastor, read that.
It's 1 Samuel
31:13.
31:13. Okay. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh, and fasted 7 days.
Yes, they were grieving over the lost one.
Amen.
And as
Amen.
A result of that, they were fasting and praying. We won't turn to it, but ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, we find that also. It's expressing grief. You remember, Pastor, when David's son was dying.
Amen.
And he fasted and prayed. He didn't shave. He didn't put on cologne. He didn't put on aftershave, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But after they announced to him that his son is dead, he then stopped his fast and stopped his praying. He shaved his face. He put on cologne. He refreshed himself. They were basically surprised. Now, you didn't do that the whole time, but now you're saying, he said that my son can't come to where I am, but I know that I can go to where he is.
Amen. Amen.
That was a recognition of the resurrection, a recognition of everyone that believes in God, trusts in Jesus Christ, going to heaven. And quickly, ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing is we pray and fast for guidance, for strengthening of our prayer life, for an expression of grief, and also for deliverance and protection. In fact, and make a note of that, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 3 and 4. 2 Chronicles 3 and 4, for deliverance and for protection. That's what we're fasting for.
Amen.
Asking God, there's a problem, there's a question. We're saying, God, would you? There are a lot of people today under the sound of my voice that you've been threatened with your job because of the COVID vaccination. May I recommend prayer and fasting, asking God to intercede, asking God to protect you, asking God for deliverance, asking God for direction so that you'll know what God would have you to do based on the threat that you have from your employer and what he's saying that he or she's saying that they're going to do. Pastor, do you have any comments about that, praying for deliverance and fasting for deliverance and protection?
Amen. Amen. Well, we need to know and understand, Dr. Youngblood, before we make any decision for every Christian, you ought to pray and fast.
Yes.
First. I mean, fasting and prayer always goes together all through the scripture. That's the way you will find it.
There's one more verse, ladies and gentlemen, before our time is out today. Acts 14, verse 23. Acts 14, 23. Fasting and prayer is to seek strength and direction from the Lord.
Amen.
Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Pastor, if you'll read it, we'll close our broadcast today, but let me encourage our listeners today to recognize that fasting is a biblical concept, precept, and tenet in the Word of God.
Amen. Acts 14
and
22.
Amen. 23. Read that quickly.
Amen. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believe.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, fasting and prayer is to seek strength and direction from the Lord. Let me commend that to you. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the next broadcast of Let's Face the Issues.
First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.